chapter number 16. First Samuel chapter number 16. We'll be starting in verse number 4 tonight. First Samuel chapter number 16, verse number 4. The Bible says, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for the honor and the privilege it is to be in your house tonight. We thank you for the significance of today, for the many sacrifices that were made many, many years ago, that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. But Father, that message and that freedom that we so gladly enjoy would have very little meaning if not for the freedom found in Jesus Christ. And God, we ask that you would come and meet with us in a mighty way here this evening. For just a short time, Father, I pray that you clear out the distractions, keep the devil away. Father, they don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from on high. And I ask that you do a mighty work in our midst here tonight. And we'll just be quick to thank you and to praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we look at this portion of Scripture, and just to get a little context, if you're not familiar with this chapter, we would see in chapter number 13 that Saul has been removed as the king of Israel. And so Samuel was lamenting him, and God actually kind of rebuked Samuel a little bit and saying, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I've refused him?" And so he tells him, "All right, I want you to go, and I'm going to anoint the next king." And so he goes in to find Jesse, and we know that one of Jesse's sons will be the anointed. And so as we look in verse number 6, it says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab," referring to Samuel, "and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Now if you take that in consideration with the first king that they had, if you look at Saul's physical attributes, perhaps there's some parallel there. We don't necessarily know that because it doesn't give us a whole lot of information regarding Eliab. But what we do know is that Samuel is looking strictly at the physical qualities of Eliab here. No different than Saul was in the beginning as well. In fact, Saul was so much bigger than everyone. It was said that he was above the shoulders of everyone else there. So he was a very physical presence to be found. And so it's almost to be assumed, based on the reaction that he has and the statement that the Lord makes in verse number 7, that that's the mentality that Samuel had regarding God's next choice for a king, is that he had to be a physically commanding leader for the nation of Israel. And so God has to bring him down a notch and remind him that God doesn't see as man sees. God looks on the heart, whereas man looks on the physical countenance. You know, that's a very common thing in our society in today's day and age. Now, you look at me, I don't think anyone would accuse me or associate me with being the big, macho, strong, tough guy. I just don't have that presence. I never have, and I never will, and that's okay. I'm content with that. You know, many of you know that I used to work for Loomis, the armored truck company, years ago, and people were not afraid of me because I was 200 pounds and had muscles rippling from one side to the next. They weren't afraid of me. In fact, I remember one instance. I was in the area of Geneva, about an hour or so away from here, and there were some young people that were outside of Wegmans, and they saw me get out of the truck, and they were kind of snickering as I was going into the store. And so I made my delivery there, and I was coming back out. And one of them thought that he was going to be a funny guy, and he was going to try and act all tough and cool with me. Now, let me remind you that I used to have to carry a gun for my job. And so as I was getting back to the truck, again, I could kind of see them laughing and making some comments. And so I finished up what I needed to, and periodically we would stop to run in, use the restroom, or we would grab a snack or something to that effect. And so it was around that time where I just wanted to go in and get a drink of water and maybe a bag of chips or something. And so as I'm getting out of the truck, I hear them making some comments regarding my job and what it is that I do. And then he made the mistake, excuse me, of making a threatening gesture to me. Now, I don't know this person. And can I just clarify, if you ever know someone who works for an armored truck company, do not come running up to them. Okay? We are trained that we are not to get too close to people because we don't know. And there are plenty of people every year that are killed in line of duty as armored truck employees. And so I didn't know this person. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know what he wanted. But when he made this quick little motion to me, my natural reaction was to go right to my gun. I don't know what you're doing. You're playing a game. You're just trying to act like a cool guy. And he about wet himself because he didn't think I was going to react that way. Why? Why did he react the way that he did? Because he saw the power that I was reaching for. It didn't have anything to do with me. He wasn't intimidated by me at all. But when he saw that my hand went to my gun, well, now he's dealing with a much greater force. A much greater power was in his realm now. And that's what we need to understand, is that most people aren't necessarily afraid of us. And as Christians, we need to help them understand that our power has got nothing to do with us. We have a much greater power that lies within us. And so for just a little bit, looking with the focal point of the thought that the Lord gives to Samuel about not looking on the outward appearance, but looking on the inside, we're going to just look at a few verses, and I promise this won't be long. Now, I had a direction that I was going to go with this message, but I wanted to verify with Pastor Russo if it would be appropriate, and we kind of came up with a little bit of a compromise, and I'm okay with that. You know, this is not my church, and so I have to be mindful a little bit of that. As you can see, I am missing something from my repertoire here, and that's all right. I think the point will get across just as well. But you know what? We celebrate something today. Why? Because a number of people 242 years ago decided, you know what? We need independence. And they were outnumbered at times, and there were circumstances that were beyond their control. And George Washington even described it at times that if not for the providence of God, there was no way that they would have won. You know, if we focus on physical aspects, we're going to be disappointed. We really are. And as Christians, we need to guard against the tendency to look to the physical realm rather than the spiritual. And so one of the verses that I want you to look at is found in John chapter number 15. We weren't sure if there were going to be any visitors tonight, so we didn't want to give the wrong impression by me having a weapon in my possession, and so my gun is locked safely in the car this evening. But we're going to talk a few things regarding what should be here and who we are as individuals, as Christians. Here in John chapter number 15, let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. First thing that I want you to understand is that, you know what, on the surface, a lot of people can appear to be strong, powerful, but oftentimes that's merely just a facade. Now, one of the illustrations that I was going to have, if I actually had my gun with me, was to point out that when we first see it, we don't know if, in fact, that is a loaded weapon. You see a gun, and immediately you have some associations with that. And one of the things that I was going to do is this holster here is kind of a military-style grade in that you can access the clip while the gun is still secured in the holster, okay? So I was going to pull out the magazine and show you that it was empty, slide it back in, and then I was going to have one of you come up as I lock it into the lock position there and show that the chamber is empty so that you could understand that while we have an association with that weapon there, in fact, it really isn't much of a weapon at all. But most people don't know that. And the reality is, a gun, just like us, is an instrument that by itself really doesn't have much effect. It doesn't have much power in and of itself. Now, without it being loaded, without it having any kind of ammunition in it, a gun is still a weapon, okay? If you were to hit someone on the top of the head with an empty gun, you could still do some damage. And as Christians, without the power of God in our lives, we're still able to do a few things. But no different than having an unloaded gun. We're never going to fulfill the purpose in which we're created unless something has been put inside of us. And for a Christian, what is that? We know that that's the Holy Spirit. And then it goes beyond that with the Word of God. You see, this right here won't hurt anybody by itself. Well, maybe I could throw it at you and hit you in the eye if I got perfect aim and maybe do a little damage in that regard. But this little bullet here isn't going to do much by itself. Now, if I were to load this into my weapon, well, now suddenly that's a different story. Now, as we have the Word of God in our possession, oh, it's a powerful force. But if it's just sitting at home, if it's just being closed up and it's not being utilized for the intent and the design that it is, it's really not doing what it's supposed to be in your life. Now, the Word of God is independent of itself. So the association with a bullet kind of breaks down at some point. Because Scripture teaches that forever thy word is settled in heaven, okay? So it's not quite the exact same thing that we're dealing with the Word of God versus a bullet. But the point that I'm trying to get across is that for something to really maximize its potential, the power is found within. And for us as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we either put stock in the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, or we're just an empty gun that looks all strong and powerful. You see, the problem for most people outside of these walls is that they have a hard time distinguishing at face value. They don't know when they see us if we are a solid, sold-out Christian or if we are just a surface Christian. They don't know if we're a loaded gun or if we're empty. And the only way they're going to find that out is when we're tested. The question is, are you prepared for that? You see, a loaded weapon will look intimidating. Now, there were times, honestly, I'm not going to lie, there were times when I simply forgot my weapon when I was working for Loomis. Because I hated driving with it in my holster. To me, that was just, it irritated my hip and it was uncomfortable to drive. So I always had it in my glove box. I hate getting up early. Can I just be honest? 6 o'clock in the morning trying to get up to go to work was rough. So I would put it in my glove box and I'd be half asleep driving to work. And I'm not going to lie, there were times I just left it in the glove box. And it'd be 8 o'clock in the morning and I'd be halfway down the road before I remembered I don't have my gun on me. Ah! So I would just kind of like hide my coat over my holster and just act all strong and cool and tough, and thankfully nothing ever happened. And praise the Lord, nothing ever did. But had a situation arose, I'd have been in trouble. Now, if I had my gun, it was always loaded. But if you were to go out and have an unloaded gun, and something happens, what good is it? It's not going to help you in the way that it's supposed to. And sadly, that's where I believe many Christians are at. They're not fulfilling the purpose in which they were created for. They're like an unloaded gun. You know, we travel around quite a bit, and Roy and Mel can attest to this as they go to check in with a number of different churches there, and you see a lot of things, and you kind of take a lot of things for granted when you go to other churches. You know, we're very blessed here at Walker Bible Baptist Church, and we love this church, and we love all of you, and it's kind of bittersweet as we draw closer and closer to heading back to the island. But Christianity can be very shallow a lot of the time. And I think one of the things that we've really noticed is that there's almost a Barney Fife mentality to Christianity. And if you've ever watched the Andy Griffith Show, maybe you know where I'm going with this. Now, Barney Fife was the deputy there with Andy Taylor. And Barney carried a gun. But what was the calling card of Barney Fife regarding his weapon? Can anybody tell me? And he would always refer back to, "I got my bullet. I got my bullet." And I think honestly that's where a lot of Christians are at. I'm good. I got my bullet. I'm good. But if we're honest with ourselves, if an attack comes, and they'll come, don't deceive yourself into thinking. Or maybe you're on the mountaintop right now. Be prepared. The Bible teaches our adversary is always looking. Are you going to be content to just have one bullet? So I don't know about you, but when I would go to Loomis, and this was a debate that we had several years ago when they were instituting the new SAFE Act laws there, we used to be able to carry as many rounds as we could carry in our magazines. And then they came with the laws that said, no, you're limited to, I think it was 8 rounds per magazine. Can I just be honest? I violated the law anytime I'd go to work. I wasn't going to have the government tell me I can only have 8 rounds in my gun if I could hold 10. Why? Because if someone's trying to kill me, I want as many opportunities as I can to put down that threat. And as I said, I think there's a lot of Christians that are content to be like Barney Fife. They got their one bullet, I'm good. Now, having shot hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rounds, probably even in the thousands through the years of working at Loomis, you got to be the world's best shot to have one shot when the attack comes. That book right there is going to be our lifeline. We know some of the verses. Let's look at just a few. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Look at verse number 29. Jeremiah 23:29. The Bible says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Many of you may know this verse, but flip over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." Quick and powerful. We can stop right there with that verse. But it goes on. "Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is quick. It's alive. And it is powerful. And it will penetrate deep inside of us and reveal to us the flaws and faults that we have and the areas that we need to work on. And the question is, are we spending time in the Word like we ought to? Or are we just walking around as an empty gun? Are we walking around as empty Christians, putting on a pretend, putting on a show, and then failing when the battle comes? When we're being tested and tried, because we've put our power elsewhere. Let's not be Barney Fife Christians. Let's remind ourselves where our power comes. We read it in John 15. Jesus says we can't do anything without Him. Acts 1:8 is a tremendous verse, but it reminds us the power comes from the Holy Ghost. Romans 15:13 says the same thing. The power of the Holy Ghost. So the question I want to leave you with, and I had no intention of preaching a long message, of trying to give you some deep doctrinal thought, but just to use an illustration to bring out one main point. This does no good when it's not in the gun. The Word of God is an amazing tool. You all know my testimony. You know that I had no desire to be in church, no desire to be saved. We sing the song at times. I don't remember which one it was, if it was youth choir or adult choir. Sin kept me from it. Come on. Tell it. And it keeps me from sin. Yes, sir. So where are you at tonight? Are you a loaded Christian that's carrying as many rounds as you can? Are you the Barney Fife that's just hanging on to that one? Or are you empty and you're all for show, not fulfilling the purpose in which you were created? What's sad is this world can't tell. No different than when you walk up to someone who's got a gun in their holster. First glance, you're not going to be able to tell unless you can see that the magazine's physically not in it, though there could still be one in the chamber, but the world needs to see that we're not empty. Are you prepared for that tonight? As we walk out of these rooms this evening and we head back into the world, I'm all about the festivities and the significance of today. Got to see a parade. If we were in Puerto Rico, we wouldn't have done anything today. We might have cooked out, but 4th of July is not celebrated in Puerto Rico. So I was glad to have a little parade. Went to Chai Lai and enjoyed some of the festivities there. And Greece has got fireworks at 9:45 tonight. Going to enjoy it. But if they don't know we're Christians, and we're not sold out, if we're just carrying around one bullet, or we're empty, then we're wasting everybody's time. We're not fulfilling the purpose that the Lord created us for, and we're really doing no benefit to those around us. Just like if someone were to come in here tonight and threaten us, this empty holster does me no good. Or even if I had the gun on me and it was empty, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good. Where are you at tonight? Jesus says in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. Preacher.
Appreciate that, Ed. What's the difference between a loaded gun and an empty gun? Well, the bullets. What's inside? Can you tell by the outside? No, you can't. Not until it's fired. A little while ago, we had a men's day. Whoo! Shot some cannons, it felt like. What was that one that you had? That revolutionary, what, it was like 4570 or something like that. I didn't even touch it. That was big. Treat every weapon as it's loaded. And how about the Christian? What's the difference? What's the difference between one that's filled and one that's not? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Scripture says. So what's a full Christian look like? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What's it look like? I like what Mr. Bauman said there. When tested, we'll see what's on the inside. They tell you not to fire a firearm dry, meaning it damages the hammer. It works best if it hits a bullet. You shouldn't keep pulling the trigger on an empty gun. When you do that, click, 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 click. I agree, Ed. I think that's how a lot of Christians are these days. Sure, they look right. But when tested, when the trigger gets pulled, what comes out? But the one that's full, full magazine, like he said, 10 rounds. I have a revolver that holds 5. When that thing's full, when you pull the trigger, you know there's a difference. When a 357 is shot out of a bullet or out of a gun, You know the difference of when, click, the amount of power that is exhibited is significant. When the Christian gets tested and he's pulled, and the trigger gets pulled in his life, what comes out? When it gets pulled in her life, what comes out? Does love? Does joy? Does peace? Or is it hollow and empty? What a great thought for us tonight. So how do I fix it? I feel like I'm Barney Fife. I feel like I got one bullet. I'm holding on to something that happened a long time ago. What do I do? Get in the Word. Fill your clip. You allow the Holy Spirit of God access to your life and you're honest with God. Say, what's going to change? Well, what's the difference between a loaded gun and the unloaded gun? Does anything on the outside change? No. It's all what happens on the inside. And then, what comes out? So how do I fix this? Well, quite honestly, you can't fix it in a moment. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time to fill that clip up. But I pray that you give attention to the Word of God. That you give attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Excellent message tonight. Something to consider for our lives. Personally, what in your life, where are you at? Let's all stand. Appreciate that, Brother Bauman. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, using us. God, I thank you for your power. And Lord, I pray that our good works would be a display and you would be glorified. God, I pray that when pushed or tried, that we'd be so full of the Holy Spirit of God that your attributes come out rather than ours. Lord, I pray that we would not soon forget this message, but take action to fix in our life where we may be empty. Lord, I ask you to watch over us tonight, protect us. Lord, for those maybe going to fireworks or something of that sort, Lord, I pray you keep them safe and it would be an enjoyable time. But God, truly we would consider our standing with you tonight. We love you. We are thankful for freeing us from the bonds of sin. And Lord, I pray that we would take our Christian liberty serious. That we would consider the things that you say concerning our liberty. That we would not cause others to stumble. But that our lives, our words, our whole being would glorify you. Lord, we love you tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. Gentlemen, if I could speak with you for a moment, like adult men.